Blog Talk Radio.
It's the most beautiful time of the year. Lights fill the streets, spreading so much cheer. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under the mistletoe. I don't wanna miss out on the holiday, but I can't stop staring at your face. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under the mistletoe. Like a hot July, I should be chilling with my folks. I know I'ma be under the mistletoe. Word on the street, Santa's coming at night. Reindeer is flying through the sky so high. I should be making a list. I know I'ma be under the mistletoe. Christmas, it's the most beautiful time of the year. Lights fill the streets and so much cheer. I should be playing in the winter snow. I will be under the mistletoe. I don't wanna miss out on the holiday, but I can't stop staring at your face. I should be playing in the winter snow.
Deeper truth, and this is Christmas, the season of the mistletoe. Yes, the season of the Christmas mistletoe. Wow. Well, every year when Christmas time comes around, people who are on the side of Scrooge come out opposing the spirit of Christmas, because they want to say that it began with or through pagan foundations. And maybe they reject Christ, or maybe they are in some kind of cult group. Now, I have defended Christmas many times and showing that Jesus was really and truly born on December 25, 2 BC. Now, I've written on the 12 days of Christmas and candy canes and caroling and midnight mass, as well as other topics related to the Christmas season. But for the Scrooges of the world, they think Christmas is a gotcha moment against the Catholic Church. Jesus sent the Catholic Church to go to all the world, and what he proclaimed to them, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And what a grace it is to bear this foundation in our lives. In accomplishing this mission, the church has used traditions from cultures, customs, language, and the environment to reach the nations. And sometimes roots did come from paganism that the church used to Christianize societies. If St. Paul were here today, what would he say about all this, especially some of the traditions that are not based from the Bible? Well, consider the following coming from Acts chapter 17, verses 16 to 28, as he was speaking to Greek philosophers. Now, while St. Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he argued in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who chanced to be there, and some also of the different various philosophers who met him. And some said, "What would this babbler say?" And others who were challenging him said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he preached Jesus and the resurrection." And they took hold of him and brought him up out there and saying, "May we know what this new teaching is which you present, for you bring some strange things to our ears, and we wish to know therefore what these things mean." And so now all those there in and foreigners who lived there spent their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. And St. Paul, standing in the middle of the different philosophers, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along, I observed the objects of your worship. I found also an altar here with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. And the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by men, nor is he served by human needs, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. And he made from one every nation of men to live on all the face of the earth. And having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him. And yet he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.'" And so where does the tradition of the mistletoe come from? Do you have anyone you would like to find under a mistletoe? And I have always wondered where the tradition of the mistletoe had derived from. I have seen it on television during the Christmas season, and I was just curious to where this tradition comes from. And this particular custom is one that I have not experienced, as I never have walked under the mistletoe. So I am so thankful for my wife, Gigi. I am glad that I do not have to depend on a mistletoe. So if you happen to go to one of those office parties at work or someplace, you better be careful for those looking to capture you under a mistletoe. You never know these days who might be looking for the opportunity to kiss you. And so the mistletoe, over several centuries, is seen as a Christmas decoration. And there are basically two types of mistletoes, which is native to North America. And these live as a parasite on trees, mostly known in the West. But there are some known to grow in New Jersey, where Michael is, Michael from New Jersey, so he could probably tell you about some of those mistletoes spreading down south to Florida. But mistletoe is also capable for growing on its own. Like other plants, it can produce its own food by photosynthesis. Well, the other mistletoe comes from European. These European mistletoes is a green shrub with small yellow flowers and white sticky berries, which are considered poisonous. So don't eat any of these berries. What's commonly seen on apple trees, only rarely on oak trees, and even rarer is the oak mistletoe, which was greatly venerated by the ancient Celts and Germans and used as ceremonial plants by early Europeans. And the Greeks and earlier peoples thought that it had mystical powers, and down through the centuries, it became associated with many folklore customs. And so the plant, the mistletoe, is especially interesting because it is a parasite. It grows on the branches or trunks of a tree and actually sends out roots that penetrate into the tree and take up nutrients. And so the mistletoe is a plant that grows on range of trees, including willow, apple, and oak trees. And so the tradition of hanging it on in the house goes back to the times of the ancient Druids. It is supposed to possess magical powers, which bring good luck to the household and wards off evil spirits. It was also used as a sign of love and friendship in Norse mythology. And that's where the custom of kissing under the mistletoe comes from. So when the first Christians came to Western Europe, some tried to ban the use of the mistletoe as a decoration in churches, but many still continue to use it. And so in the UK, they used to hold a mistletoe service in the winter, where wrongdoers in the city of York could come and be pardoned. And so the custom of kissing under the mistletoe comes from England. You got that, Jake? It comes from England. Thanks to you, Jake, and others, and you from England. The original custom was that a berry was picked from the sprig of mistletoe before the person could be kissed, and when all the berries had gone, there could be no more kissing. And the name mistletoe comes from two Anglo-Saxon words, mistle, which means dung, and tan, which means twig or stick. So you can translate mistletoe as poo on a stick. Oh, wow, not exactly romantic, is it? Well, anyway, mistletoe was also hung on the old English declaration, what they called the kissing bow. At Christmas time, a young lady standing under the ball of mistletoe, brightly trimmed with evergreens, ribbons, and ornaments, cannot refuse to be kissed. Oh, wow. Such a kiss could mean deep romance or lasting friendship and goodwill. If the girl remained unkissed, she cannot expect to marry the following year. In some parts of England, the Christmas mistletoe is burned on the 12th night, lest all the boys and girls who have kissed under it never marry. Wow. Whether we believe it or not, it always makes for fun and frolic at Christmas celebrations. Even if the pagan significance has been long forgotten, the custom of exchanging a kiss under the mistletoe can still be found in many European countries as well as in Canada. And thus, if a couple in love exchange a kiss under the mistletoe, it is interpreted as a promise to marry and as well as a prediction of happiness and long life. In France, the custom linked to mistletoe was reserved for New Year's Day. The mistletoe for the new year. Today, kisses can be exchanged under the mistletoe any time during the holiday season. And the legend for its supposedly mystical power, mistletoe, has long been the center of many folklore. One is associated with the goddess Frigga. The story goes that mistletoe was the sacred plant of Frigga, goddess of love, and the mother of Balder, the god of the summer sun. And so Balder had a dream of death, which greatly alarmed his mother, for should he die, all life on earth would end. And in an attempt to keep this from happening, Frigga went at once to air, fire, water, earth, and every animal and plant, seeking a promise that no harm would come to her son. And Balder now could not be hurt by anything on earth or under the earth. But Balder had one enemy, Loki, the god of evil. And he knew of one plant that Frigga had overlooked in her quest to keep her son safe. It grew neither on the earth nor under the earth, but on apple and oak trees. It was lowly mistletoe. So Loki made an arrow tip of the mistletoe and gave it the blind god of winter, Hodur, who shot it, striking Balder dead. And the sky paled, and all things on earth and heaven wept for the sun god. For 3 days, each element tried to bring Balder back to life. He was finally restored by Frigga, the goddess, and his mother. It is said the tears she shed for her son turned into the pearly white berries on the mistletoe plant, and in her joy, Frigga kissed everyone who passed beneath the tree on which it grew. And so the story ends here with a decree that who should ever stand under the humble mistletoe, no harm should befall them, only a kiss, a token of love. And what the church has done, like it has on other traditions, customs, and culture, is to put a Christian meaning to this. And what could be more natural than to translate the spirit of this old myth into a Christian way of thinking and accept the mistletoe as the emblem of that love which conquers death. Its medicinal properties, whether real or imaginary, make it a just emblematic of that tree of life, the leaves of which are for the healing of the nations, which paralleled it to the virgin birth of Christ. Taking a cultural tradition and giving it a Christian purpose is not a bad thing. Consider Christian contemporary music. I've heard it argued that it is wrong because it is like that of the world. And I would argue that music can be used as a tool to reach out to the world with the truths of the church. And there are many things associated with Christmas that can be used for fun and teaching, good ways to spread Christmas cheer. So as St. Paul would say to his listeners, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. And he said, I appeal to you, brethren, to take note of those who create dissensions and difficulties in opposition to the doctrine which you have been taught. Avoid them. Romans chapter 16, verse 16 and 17. So there you have it about the mistletoe. And so, of course, we don't put nothing into it about any of the pagan roots, but we certainly look into, Jesus is the light of the world. And he is soup, and he supersedes all these like Loki and Frigga. I mean, the Virgin Mary is not a goddess, but she is real. Real, real, real. And this Frigga is fake. Nothing. Nothing. And Loki, well, he may be kind of like a jokester, but he's nothing. Nothing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God in three divine persons. Birth of Jesus, the virgin birth of Christ. He is the reason for the season. So that's the story of the mistletoe. And for, you know, love takes time. So we hear a deeper truth. Support the sacrament of matrimony, of marriage. And we pray for holy marriages, men and women. Husband loves your love your wives, and wives love your husbands. And teach your children to love Jesus and bring them up in the holy Catholic faith. So love takes time. What a wonderful gift that God gives us through this great sacrament of love. And it's because Jesus lives that the Mass is important, that Mother Mary is important, and all the saints are important. It gives us, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father but by through him and through what he has given us, the Catholic faith.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen.
We are the praise. We are one body in Christ. And became that one might have life. For he tells us, when you eat my body and you drink my blood, I will live in you and you will live in my love. When you eat my body and you drink my blood, I will live in you and you will live in my love. We are one body in Christ. And we do not stand alone.
Yes, and that is the Catholic faith. And so we will be back tomorrow with our Stand in the Gap, as St. Lucy will be entering in our Stand in the Gap tomorrow. And our Christmas focus tomorrow, well, in our celebrating of Christmas, will be the Candy Cane. So that ought to be fun. All right. Well, we will see you tomorrow. God bless you all, and Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year as we move forward to these seasons. God bless you all. Amen.